Translation: the two brothers, Sakar Malik and Dabir Khas, very humbly submitted that due to their abominable activities, they were now bound by the neck and hands and had been thrown into a ditch filled with abominable stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained ku vishayo gharta as follows. Because of the activities of the senses, we become subjected to many sense gratificatory processes and are thus entangled by the laws of material nature. This entanglement is called vishaya. When the sense gratificatory processes are executed by pious activity, they are called su-vishaya. The word su means good and vishaya means sense objects. When the sense gratificatory activities are performed under sinful conditions, they are called ku-vishaya, bad sense enjoyment. In either case, either ku-vishaya or su-vishaya, these are material activities. As such, they are compared to stool. In other words, such things are to be avoided. To become free from su-vishaya and ku-vishaya, one must engage himself in the transcendental loving service of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The activities of devotional service are free from the contamination of material qualities. Therefore, to be free from the reactions of su-vishaya and ku-vishaya, one must take to Krishna consciousness. In that way, one will save himself from contamination. In this connection, Srila Narottam Das Thakur has sung, karma kanda jnana kanda kevala vishaya bhanda amrita boliya jeva khai nana yoni sada phire kadarya bhakshana kore tara janma adha pate jai. Su-vishaya and ku-vishaya both fall under the category of karma kanda. There is another kanda called jnana kanda, or philosophical speculation about the effects of ku-vishaya and su-vishaya, with the intention to find out the means of deliverance from material entanglement. On the platform of jnana-kanda, one may give up the objects of ku-vishaya and su-vishaya, but that is not the perfection of life. Perfection is transcendental to both jnana-kanda and karma-kanda. It is on the platform of devotional service. If we do not take to devotional service in Krishna consciousness, we have to remain within this material world and endure the repetition of birth and death due to the effects of jnana-kanda and karma-kanda. Therefore, Narottam Das Thakur says, nana joni sada phire kadarya bhakshana kore tara janma adha pate jai. One travels throughout various species of life and eats all kinds of nonsense. Thus, he spoils his existence. A man in material existence and attached to ku-vishaya or su-vishaya is in the same position as that of a worm in stool. After all, whether it be moist or dry, stool is stool. Similarly, material activities may be either pious or impious, but because they are all material, they are compared to stool. Worms cannot get out of stool by their own endeavor. Similarly, those who are overly attached to material existence cannot get out of materialism and suddenly become Krishna conscious. Attachment is there, as explained by Prahlad Maharaj in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.30. Matirna Krishne parata svatova mitho vipadyeta grihavratanam adanta gobhir vishatam tamisram punah punash. Those who have made up their minds to remain in this material world and enjoy sense gratification cannot become Krishna conscious. Because of their attachment to material activity, they cannot attain liberation, either by the instructions of superior persons or by their own endeavor or by passing resolutions in big conferences. Because their senses are uncontrolled, they gradually descend to the darkest regions of material existence to repeat the same process of birth and death in desirable or undesirable species of life. Om Adnanti Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this is a continuation of the episode of meeting of Rupa and Sanatana with Mahaprabhu. Rupa and Sanatana Goswamis were working under the Nawab, the Muslim ruler, and they had a strong desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They lived in a town called Ramakeli, and this verse explains, and actually a few verses prior to this, it explains the interaction between Mahaprabhu and Rupa and Sanatan. Although they were born in God Saraswat Brahman families, they had assumed this role of being the ministers. One was the private secretary, and the other one was in charge of the treasury. So because they were performing these roles with the Nawab, with the Muslim king, who was quite tyrannical, he was quite hard on the general population, both Rupa and Sanatan, they were banned from their community. They were ostracized. They did not have any connection or relationship with the community. And so in the previous verses, Rupa and Sanatan, they have said that actually, Mahaprabhu, you have delivered Jagai and Madhai. We all know who Jagai and Madhai were. He says, you've delivered Jagai and Madhai, but that must not have been very difficult. It shall be more difficult for you to deliver us. Why is that? Anyone? Why do they say that it will be more difficult? How were Jagai and Madhai? They were very sinful. Extremely sinful, doing all kinds of, all kinds of sinful activities. However, Rupa and Sanatan, they are saying, Mahaprabhu will be more difficult for you to deliver us because we are the lowest. We have much more fallen than them. And what is the reason they give? So Rupa and Sanatan, they are very learned as well. They were learned in all the scriptures, Vaishnava scriptures. They were learned also in Sanskrit language, in Bengali, in Farsi, and in Arabic. The language of the court was Farsi, so they had to present things in Farsi. And the Nawab was, he was used to sermons in Arabic. So Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami would give him sermons on the Quran in Arabic. So they were learned. Plus they were learned in Sanskrit. So very intelligent. So they put forward their case to Mahaprabhu. They say in the previous verses, we are Nicha Jati. We are the lowest of low, you know, the lowest of the low. We are the low born ones. Why? Why are we Nicha Jati? Because we are Mlecha Sevi. Mlecha Sevi, we serve this Muslim king who is extremely sinful himself. And Kori Mlecha Karma. And we are performing Mlecha Karma. Not only are we serving the king, we are also engaging in the same activities as him. Go Brahmana Drohi Shange. And our association is with those who are against the cows and the Brahmanas. Whereas if you look at Jagai and Madhai, so now he is comparing. He says, we are Nicha Jati, we are the low born because of our association. But Jagai and Madhai, Brahmana Jati Tar. They were both born in Brahmana families. They never associated with Mlechas. And Jagai and Madhai, it was easy to deliver because Navadvipe Ghar, he says, because they were born in Navadvip, they were born in the Dham. So they already had enough pious credits. Whereas we are born in Ramakeli, which is an ordinary village. Nicha Sheba Nahi Kore. We are serving this Mlecha. We are helping him to propagate more sin. Jagai and Madhai didn't do that. They were sinful, but they were not engaged in serving someone who was sinful. It's even worse to serve someone who is sinful than to be sinful oneself. See how they are using their logic. And although they were, Jagai and Madhai were engaged in Kore Papachar, they were doing Papa Karma, they were doing sinful activities. Nahi Nichara Kurpara. Kurpara means instruments. They had not become instruments in the hand of sinful people. Whereas we are advising the king, we are the instruments in the hands of the sinful king to propagate more sin. So in this way they are saying, you know, the acharyas have explained that sometimes a dog barks at a sadhu. In India, you know, there are street dogs, they are barking at sadhu. These street dogs, they are also owned by some people. So on behalf of the master, he is barking at a saintly person. So the dog is also getting involved in that. Because the master does not like saintly people, the dog barks at the saintly person. Similarly, they are explaining that we are also like the dogs of this Nawab. And we have to bark at saintly people, at the go and the Brahmana, at the cows and the Brahmanas. We are anti cows and Brahmanas. So there is no hope for us. You understand their arguments, how they are presenting their argument. The only hope is you. So in the future verses, he will say, Ama Uddharite Boli Nahi Tribhuvane. There is no one who can save us in the three worlds. Patita Pavana Tomi Shobha Toma Bine. Only you are the one who is able to uplift us. So in this way, they are explaining their situation. And he says in this verse, Mora karma, mora hate, golaya, bandhiya. My karma, because of my own actions, I have as if tied a noose around my neck. And kubishaya bishtha garte, diyache phelaya. And I have as if now been thrown in a garta. Garta means a well. A well of Vishaya, Vishaya, sense objects, sense enjoyment. And Kubishaya, Kubishaya means sense enjoyment which takes you away from Krishna. Subishaya means sense enjoyment, which is within the remit of the Vedic injunctions. Subishaya and Kubishaya, both are ultimately sense enjoyment. Whether one has sense enjoyment based on the regulated principles, so we can offer gulab jamuns to the deities and then eat 50 gulab jamuns in a day, and we can think, oh, this is nice because it is approved. It is still sense enjoyment. It is approved sense enjoyment. It is still sense enjoyment. So, or one can do something which is terrible, abominable, and enjoy oneself. Both these sense enjoyments, he says, kubishaya bishta. Bishta means, anyone knows? Prabhupada has dwelled a lot on this word in his purport. Yes, stool. We all have intimate relationship with stool, isn't it? We wouldn't survive without getting rid of it from our bodies. Our bodies would become toxic and we would die. So, this vishaya, sense enjoyment, is compared to stool. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has said that if you enjoy your senses in line with the Vedic injunctions, it is like moist stool. And if you enjoy against the Vedic injunctions, it is like dry stool. Prabhupada says one story. Once a Brahmana was, they were discussing, is dry stool better or moist stool better? Ultimately it is filthy thing. So sense enjoyment, whether according to, in the pretext of Vedic karma, or sense enjoyment, you know, like Prabhupada would say, he would criticize how in the Kali Mandir of Calcutta, they would, you know, sacrifice goats and buffaloes, water buffaloes, and then they would, you know, distribute the meat. It's still going on even today in India if you go to Calcutta. I've never stepped inside the Kali Mandir because I'm... it'll be too gross. But it's still going on. And Prabhupada would say, in the name of worship of Kali, they are enjoying their senses. So that is also like eating stool. So here, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami are saying, whatever one does in life is, and whatever one gets in life is because of one's own karma. You know, we tend to blame others for something that we are going through in our life. However, the fact is, somehow, somewhere, it is because of our own doing. Knowingly or unknowingly. Whether we can see it or not. And there's a beautiful explanation of how there are six things that result in material entanglement for all of us. But I'll ask you a question. Why do we act in a certain way? Karma. Why do we act in a certain way? What is the basis of action? Of us acting in a certain way, yes. Samskaras from previous karma, okay. But immediately, why do we act in a certain way? Yes. We are conditioned by modes, okay. Both are correct answer. But you see, Bhagavatam is very scientific. It takes you step by step. So these six will make you understand who we are, why we are. Know thyself. we can know ourselves by understanding these six factors. So karma, we perform activities because of our desire. If I desire to drink wine, then I'll drink wine. I can't drink wine if I don't desire to drink wine. So activity is done based on karma. Karma means desire. What causes desire? Certain kinds of desire in us? Lobha, moha. But what? Why does one become greedy? Lobha, moha, become illusioned? Modes of nature. So modes of nature directly make you greedy? Yes, when there is desires, then you become greedy. But what is it that propels that desire? I'm looking answer from Shukdev Goswami's mouth. What Shukdev Goswami says, yes, one more. Yeah. Trying to enjoy, but what makes us try to enjoy? Taste, some taste. Yes, coming closer. False ego. Right. Envy. All correct answers. Everyone, see, there are so many answers. When there are so many answers, we should then try to understand what is the best answer. How do we know what is the best answer? The best answer is given by Shukdev Goswami, by Prabhupada, by Shastra, Guru Sadhu and Shastra. Siddhanta is given. So karma, the basis of karma is kama. Desires. The basis of karma is samskara. What is samskara? Samskara means impressions. Samskara means habits. If I'm a habitual drinker, then I'll have a desire to drink. If I'm a habitual offender, then I'll have a desire to offend in some wrong way. So our impressions that we have created, we are all born with impressions. Srila Prabhupada says, in the West, when a child is born, the father is drinking beer and he gives his child soda. And the child has impression. Oh, this is how you enjoy over the weekend. So when the child grows, he takes on the beer and passes on the soda to his child. This is impressions. Impressions are very powerful. What are we trying to do here in Bhagavatam class? In one of the commentaries, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, substantiated by Veera Raghavacharya, he says, in bhakti, what we are trying to do is create the right impressions, create the right samskaras. So samskaras propel the karma. Karma results in karma. But then, what gives rise to samskaras? What gives rise to samskaras? Why do we have certain habits? Why do we form certain habits or certain impressions? Yes. Because we desire, so the desire is coming lower. Yes, correct. So previous activity, okay. Correct answer. Then? Yeah, that's previous activities, yes. So the cause of samskara is our swabhava. You see, nature, we all have natures, different natures. Based on our nature, we have a certain samskara that we build. So somebody has a nature to go for walks every day and be healthy. They will build that samskara of being healthy. So the impressions are built based on swabhava. Not just one's own swabhava, but also swabhava of people around oneself. So the nature of the family members builds the impression in the mind of the child. So in some cultures, they kill the animal as an offering to God. And they start engaging the child who is 5 years old. They give him a knife to stab the animal and chop the animal. That child builds that samskara because of the swabhava of the family. He also builds a swabhava based on the samskara. Swabhava means nature. What gives rise to nature? The gunas, the modes. Somebody answered modes. The modes and the association with the modes gives rise to a particular kind of nature. Association with certain kinds of modes gives rise to a particular nature. And what propels the modes? What propels the modes, different modes? It is only time that propels certain modes. So Kala is ultimately in charge. Somebody is born at a certain time. Based on their birth at a certain time and in a certain place. Place is gunas. One develops interaction with the gunas. So Kala, guna, and this verse, 10th canto, chapter 13, verse 53. Shukdev Goswami is saying this to Parikshit Maharaj during Brahma Vimohan Leela. These six and their interaction in that manner. For example, it's not difficult to understand. If the Kala, what is sleep? What kind of guna is sleep? In goodness, ignorance of passion. Ignorance. When do normal people generally sleep? At night. So what mode is predominant at night? Ignorance. So at night means time. Kala propels guna. We are born in Kali Yuga, which is a particular time. Which mode is most prominent in Kali Yuga according to Bhagavatam? Ignorance, a mix of passion and ignorance, is most, mostly prevalent. So here we see, Veer Raghavacharya is saying beautifully, he says, Kala Nimeshadi Vatsarantaha Gunakshobha Hetuhu. Time expands from moments into years into millennia. And what does it do? It interacts and propels different gunas based on time, the gunas get propelled. Modes of nature. And what is swabhava? What is nature? One's own nature? Swabhava parinama hetuhu. One's nature is based on the gunas they interact with. From somebody who is interacting mainly in tamoguna will develop a tamoguni nature. In rajoguna, they will develop a rajoguni nature. In a mixed mode, they will develop that kind of nature. And samskarascha udbodha hetuhu. Samskara means that which propels you to do certain things, your impressions. That's why it's very important to cultivate the right impressions. I'll be digressing, but it says in... Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura's in Madhurya Kadambini, he says there are five things, starting with laya, which laya, vikshepa, apratipatti, then going on to rasaswada. These, and kashaya, and then rasaswada. These five are responsible for one not being able to build the right samskaras. I'll just give the example of laya. Laya means to sleep. I used to stay in Brahmachari Ashram in Juhu many, many years ago. And there was one Brahmachari. We used to have Bhagavatam class, and then afternoon we had prasad, then evening we had Bhagavad Gita class in Juhu. And he would sleep at night for 7 hours. And Bhagavatam class would be long there, 1.5 hour long. So 1.5 hour of Bhagavatam class, and then evening he would sleep during Bhagavad Gita 1 hour. So he would catch up his 9.5 hours of sleep. That was his normal habit. So if you sleep in the class, then samskaras are not built. The impressions of the spiritual instructions are not registered. Next one is vikshepa. I won't go into all 5, but they are very interesting. And how do you get rid of each one? So how do you get rid of laya? Sleep? It is said you stand up. If you are sleeping, when you are not meant to be sleeping, just stand up. Don't be shy, just stand up. And gain back your attention. Vikshepa means to be physically present but mentally absent. So these don't build samskara. So to be able to build spiritual samskaras, one has to be, you know, avoiding these 5. That's not the topic for today. Another time. My mind just digressed. But it's important that samskaras are built. We should all form good habits. You know, people say, my nature is very bad. I need to change my nature. How do you change your nature? What propels nature? The gunas, the modes. So if you are constantly associating with certain modes and then you are saying, I want to change my nature, it won't happen. So how do you change your nature? You associate with nirguna. Nirguna means transcendental activities. Associate with devotees. So you take association in the temple. Do service. With that association, nature automatically changes because your swabhava is built based on the interaction with the gunas. So Bhagavatam gives answers to everything. You don't need any new age philosophies. Yeah, to. Anyway, so this way he's saying, and what kind of karma does one experience? Karma is experienced in this life based on the activities of the previous life. But Bhaktisarana Sindhu gives a nice gradation. Bhaktisarana Sindhu says, you have aprarabdha, that karma which is not manifest. We don't know. Nobody knows. Then you have kuta. Kuta literally means projection. Prarabdha means begun. Aprarabdha means not begun. So we don't experience what has not begun. But kuta means that which has begun, but one cannot see any sign of it. Like the example is given of a farmer who has certain seeds in a stalk. So the stalk is your aprarabdha, that which has not begun. But the seeds, once the farmer has taken a handful of seeds and he is going to the field to sow them in the ground, that taking the seeds is kuta. Kuta means it's there, it's going to happen, but nobody knows. The farmer can't tell what kind of seed. Say he is growing lettuce. He cannot say whether it will be a good lettuce or a bad lettuce. Or a cabbage. And he cannot be angry if it's a bad cabbage. If you grow things in a garden, say you grow cabbage and it doesn't grow very well, would you become angry with the cabbage? Would you? No. Because you don't know that cabbage is not a result, it's the seed which is the cause. So the seed which is brought by the farmer is kuta. is the projection. It's what is going to happen. When the seed is sown and the sprout comes out, the first sprout, that is bija karma. When the bija grows and is about to fructify, it is called phalonmukha. Phalonmukha means eager to give fruit, literally. And that phalonmukha, when it gives fruit, it is prarabdha. Prarabdha means it has begun. So a person who is born, say blind, somebody who is born, everything that we possess, our bodies, our families, the people we come across, it's a continuation of previous lives, karma. So, how can one get rid of this karma? Can one get rid of this karma at all? Yes? How? Through devotional service. However, it says that through devotional service, one gets rid in krama, in gradations, not immediately. Not immediately will all karma vanish. In fact, it is said even for those who are pure devotees, their prarabdha they have to experience. Prarabdha means that which has begun. Srila Prabhupada gives the example of a fan. You switch off the fan, it still keeps going for some time. So what is going is the prarabdha. So we all have to experience our prarabdha. But if you perform devotional service, Padma Puran says, aprarabdha phalam papam. The aprarabdha, that which is unmanifest, kutam bijam phalon mukham. The kuta bija and phalon mukha. So aprarabdha, kuta bija and phalon mukha, in that gradation, krameneva praliyeta, in that manner. So first, what will be destroyed? No. A prarabdha will be destroyed. Then what will be destroyed? Kuta will be destroyed. Then what will be destroyed? Bija will be destroyed. Then what will be destroyed? Phalonmukha will be destroyed. Vishnu bhaktim ratat manam. Those who perform Vishnu bhakti, all their aprarabdha up to phalonmukha will be destroyed. But prarabdha one has to experience. However, Baldev Vidyabhushan in Vedanta Sutra reminds me one place in Vedanta Sutra, I think it is the fourth adhikaran of Vedanta Sutra. Baldev Vidyabhushan says that sometimes the prarabdha, let's say somebody is suffering a lot, somebody has some disease and they are suffering. Krishna says, well, you've been a very nice devotee of mine. I'm giving you this prarabdha and I'm giving you some reminiscence of the aprarabdha also, so that you can suffer at once and come to me. But then sometimes Krishna might think, well, you've suffered enough. Come to me now. Baldev Vidyabhushan writes that such a person may pass away accidentally. For example, he may die in a car accident. Somebody asked me, if a devotee dies in a car accident, do they become a ghost? Because if you die accidentally, then you become a ghost. No. Baldev Vidyabhushan says no. Krishna may specifically take that person away suddenly. But then the question is, what happens to that person's prarabdha? What do you think? Prarabdha means that of karma, the fruits of karma which has already begun. What happens? There is a question, right? What's happened suddenly? Anyone? Huh? There is no next life for this person. Krishna says, you come to me now. But then he has to keep the law, he has to keep the equation right. So what does he do? Yes. Huh? He dismisses it. Okay, he dismisses it. That's one idea. Baldev Vidyabhushan gives a different idea. Baldev Vidyabhushan, he says, his karma is not dismissed, but his prarabdha, what has already begun, the pious prarabdha, what he was supposed to enjoy, pious credits, That devotee's pious credits Krishna gives equally to all those and in the same proportion to those who loved that devotee. They get his credits. And the impious credits, Krishna distributes in proportion equally to those who hated that devotee. So don't hate anyone. If Krishna says, I'm going to call this devotee, and you always criticize that person, well, your negative bank balances increase suddenly. So, again, I was digressing. But everything that we do ourselves. See, here also he says, mora karma. The first word is, my karma. I have done it. But we have a tendency to apportion blame to another person. I had a friend who, long time ago, he in the US, he was a work colleague, you know, not very close friend, but a work colleague and friendly person, nice person, American guy. He committed suicide in 2011. And then in a suicide note, he has written that how long, not a note, it's like an essay, 30, 40 pages. Somewhere he had written that what started his whole exertion to gain more money, and as a result he speculated and he gambled in some financial markets and he lost everything and committed suicide. But what started it was his friend who had bought a new Ferrari. So he was somewhere blaming that man for being the remote cause of his committing suicide. So we have a tendency of, you know, blaming another person. But you know what happens when we see a Ferrari? Krishna says there are eight steps to becoming completely drowned in material manifestation. What are the eight steps? Yes, it starts with Bhagavad Gita 260-263. First is Dhyayato Vishayan Pumsah. Vishaya. Here also he is saying Kubishaya Vishtha Gurte. We choose to first focus on the object of the senses. So when you look at that Ferrari, you see the car and you see, wow. What is the first thing? Wow. This is so nice. This dhyana, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, first step. You saw the object of senses and you felt it has some nice quality in it. So you gave your attention to it. First we give our attention and we blame others for our misery. But we give our attention, dhyayato vishayan pumsaha, sangasteshu upajayate. Once we have given the attention to the Ferrari, we think, wow, what a car. Attention is given. Sangasteshopa jayate. I want one of it. I want this. Sangha. I want to associate with it. I want it. Second step. Sangat samjayate kamaha. Desires build up. To be able to get it. What can I do? How can I scheme to get this car? Kamat krodho bhi jayate, fourth step. And wherever my desires are not fulfilled, or anything that comes across which is going to hamper my desire, I become angry. Then, krodhat bhavati sammoha. Because of anger, if that anger is also caused, I mean, if that person who is coming in between you and your desire is also your loved one, your mother, your father, your friend, still you disregard them, you go against them. Krodhat bhavati sammoha. You become bewildered. Sammohat smriti vibramaha. You lose your memory that actually I want the car so that I can go out with my family. It's the same family that you forget. Smriti vibhramaha. Smriti bhramsad buddhi nasho. When you have forgotten. Now I've given an example of car. If you put the example of Krishna, it is even more interesting. We don't have time to do it. You can do it yourself. Smriti bhramsad buddhi nasho. When the memory is lost, intelligence is lost. Buddhi nashat pranashyati. And finally one drowns into material existence. So one who is in this mindset of enjoying the material existence is simply enjoying ku vishaya vishta, is simply enjoying stool. And Prabhupada quotes a beautiful verse in the purport from 7th canto, chapter 5, verse number 30. Quite famous. Prahlad Maharaj, little boy, Hiranyakashipu, his father, the greatest demon, he sits on Hiranyakashipu's lap. Hiranyakashipu is being very, very, you know, cuddly, kind, and very, you know, he's embracing his child and he's actually crying. Bhagavatam says Hiranyakashipu is shedding tears of love on Prahlad. And he's asking Prahlad, what have you learnt? And Prahlad replies, and at one point, you know, Prahlad says that only by the mercy of great souls can you become Krishna conscious. However, for people like you, my father, and he laughs. He says, Matirna Krishne, you cannot become Krishna conscious. Matirna Krishna literally means, Mati means consciousness. Krishna means in Krishna. You cannot become Krishna conscious. Why? Matirna Krishna Parataha Svatova. You cannot become Krishna conscious. Parataha. The acharyas explain Parataha means by instruction of Guru. Even your Guru instructs you, you cannot become Krishna conscious. This applies to all of us as well. Svataha, even though we own ourselves try, he says, Prahlad Maharaj, even if you try yourself, my dear father, king of demons, you cannot become Krishna conscious. Mitho bhipadyeta grihavratanam. Even if you try and your guru instructs, you both try, you cannot become Krishna conscious. Why? What is the reason? Grihavratanam, because you have taken shelter or taken a vow to enjoy in household life. Adanta gobihi. Vijayadvaja, one of the acharyas, he says, can one not attain self-realization if they are in household life? Is that the meaning? No, that's not the meaning. Because grihavratanam, the words, household life is qualified by the words adanta gobihi. One who has uncontrolled senses in enjoying in household life. So one whose senses are not controlled, vishatam tamisram, they enter into the lowest regions of hell. So different acharyas, for example, Veer Raghavacharya says, niraya rupam samsaram. So here tamisram means hell. Sridhar Swami says it means samsara. So the person who is attached to enjoying, as long as we want to keep enjoying the material world, one must come back. Why? Because Krishna is so kind. You want to enjoy? He is facilitating. Punaha punascharvitat charvananam. And the person is simply chewing the chewed. Over there, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives a, he's usually a Rasika Acharya, and he gives very sweet commentaries. But to this particular, sometimes he's very hard and strong. To this particular verse, he says that a person chews the chewed, whether he is in this world or in Swargaloka, Because there is no difference between Svargaloka and a Vaishyalaya. Vaishyalaya means a brothel. Even in Svargaloka, you enjoy the same thing which others enjoy. In a brothel also, it is the same. So he gives such a gross analogy. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. This is Punash Charvita Charvananam. Punas Punas. Again and again. Charvita Charvananam. What is chewed, you chew again and again. So chewing gum is completely against the principles of bhakti. Anyway. So this is, and also Rishabhdev says, what is this enjoyment in this world? It is available anyway to everyone. So why endeavor? He gives instructions to his sons. What does he say? Anyone? One of Prabhupada's favorite verses. Yes. Thank you, Maharaj. Nayam deho deha bhajam nriloke. In this world, all of you who have been given this body, don't use this body for kashtan, kaman, doing so much hardship just to fulfill your desires. Arhate vidbhujamte. Even those who are stool eaters, vid means stool, eater, who eats stool? The common pig, hog, street hog. Like, they also enjoy stool. So, it's just like enjoying, material enjoyment is like enjoying stool. This is commonly available even to the pigs. So what should one do in this human body? Tapo divyam putraka yena satyam. Tapo divyam. Perform tapasya. Don't get engrossed in material sense objects. Shuddhaye dhyasmat. Through that tapasya, you will become purified. Brahma saukhyam tvanantam. And you will get eternal happiness. Do some tapasya. Kama, desires, small desires. I know something is not right, something is not good for me. Small, small desires, try to control. And eventually, one will be able to control one's senses. Start small. Because even Bhagavatam says in 5th canto, Purisha in Sanskrit means stool. I think one place, 5th canto, it says, Purisha Vishesham Suvarnam. Gold, the gold which is sought after by everyone in this world, is considered in Bhagavatam to be as good as yellow stool. So Bhagavatam says that ultimately, as long as one is attached to the senses, and that is where our Srupa and Sanatana are aiming. They are saying, Murahate Golaya Bandhiya, and then Kubishaya Vishta Garte, to be fallen in the well of stool. That is why we need your mercy, Mahaprabhu. So by the mercy of Mahaprabhu, by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, one can get out of this attraction for the senses, sense objects. I had a few more things to say. Maybe I'll... What time do we go up to? On, oh, 9 o'clock, is it? Okay, fine. So another very beautiful verse which comes in Bhagavatam, which shows an example of how a great personality, a devotee, gives up material objects, is given in 5th canto, 11th, 5th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 43, where it says, Shukdev Goswami is explaining how Bharat Maharaj, who was a great king, he had a huge kingdom, beautiful young wife and children. He had many, many servants, hundreds of thousands of elephants, millions of cows, brahmanas and courtiers and huge palaces. And Bharat Maharaj left everything to go to the forest. How did he go? The verse is so beautiful. It says, Yo dustyajan darasutan surid rajyam ridisparshah jahau yuyaiva malavad uttamashloka lalasah. Yo dustyajan. He left everything that is so difficult to leave. Imagine one has so much facility to enjoy. He left everything. Dara sutan. Dara means wife, children, palace. Surid rajyam. Rajyam, kingdom which is very dear to him. He left that also. Ridhi sparshah. Very dear to the heart. Very close to the heart. Jahav, yuva eva. And it is not that he left everything. Bharat Maharaj left everything when he was an old man. Yuva eva. When he was a young man, in youth itself he left everything. Malavad. Malavad means just like stool. He left it like stool. When one passes stool. So all these material sense objects he left like stool. It is said by one of the acharyas in commentary, why do people become monks? They become monks because they want to stay away from these sense objects and be attached to Krishna. So if that is not achieved, then one's being a monk is useless. So here he says, Bharat Maharaj, Jahav Yuvaivam Malavad. Like stool, Bharat Maharaj gave up the material sense objects. Uttama shloka lalasa. So when you give something up, something should be attracting you to leave something, right? If you are having a job which gives you, say, £50,000 annual salary, when would you give up that job? If another one comes which gives you £100,000 salary, you'll give that £50,000. Something should attract you. So here the next line says, Uttama shloka lalasaha. He was so greedy to surrender unto the Lord that he left material sense and enjoyments. But like what? Malavad. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given a beautiful commentary on the word malavad, like stool. He says, Malavad iti yatha malasya tyaga eva nirvritihi. What happens when one really needs to go to the toilet and then one passes stool? How does one feel? Relieved. So, one meaning Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says is, Bharat Maharaj left material enjoyment. Malavad means, like passing of stool, he felt relief that he gave up material enjoyment, sense objects. Then he goes further. He says, Tyaga bhave kashtam. What if you are feeling strongly, you know, strong urge to go to the toilet, but you don't go to the toilet? What happens? You feel discomfort. So here he left everything like stool, as if one passes stool, he left everything. Because he did not want to feel any further discomfort of being in material enjoyment. Just see. Then he says, Tyaktasya tasya smaranepi nishti vanod gamaha tatheva iti tyage. Tyaktasya tasya smaranepi. When you pass stool, do you turn around and look at it? Do you keep remembering it? How it was? Do you do that? No. Similarly, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, it's quite a gross analogy, but drives a point. What is the point? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, Tyaktasya tasya smaranepi. Even if you remember that, nishthivana, you immediately feel like spitting. Yucks. Similarly, Bharat Maharaj left sense enjoyment. never looking behind. And even the thought of his kingdom and other objects of enjoyment would bring spit in his mouth. This is how Vishwanath Chaitanya Thakur explains how a devotee gives up stool-like vishaya. I'm sorry for such a filthy class. It's the purport which speaks about this, and the verse speaks about it. Ku vishaya vishta. And Prabhupada has dwelled on it. Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur dwelled on the word stool-like enjoyment. Because you are all wonderful devotees, I will end with some nice stool. Attractive. Can there be something called as attractive stool? Yeah? Yeah? Flush it. No, something which is attractive, you look forward to. What about stool in the spiritual world? Is there any stool in the spiritual world? Yeah? Rishabdev's stool was very fragrant, yes. That is true. By some acharyas, it was as fragrant as it'll go up to 100 miles, the fragrance. Prabhupada gives a smaller figure, but some acharyas go all the way 100 miles. So, yeah, stool was fragrant, Rishabdev's. But spiritual world we are talking. There's a beautiful verse, 10th canto, chapter 8. There is this verse 31 where description is given of Krishna with Mother Yashoda and the gopis. Krishna would go to different houses and he would steal butter. And he would scheme in different ways to steal butter. So the verse goes like this. This is from the 10th canto. Evam darshtriyani. So the women have gathered. The scene is the gopis have gathered in the house of Nanda Maharaj. Krishna is sitting in one corner. And he is very, very, you know, like a very timid, nice listening child. He's sitting there with a very plum face. He's looking at all these gopis. They have come to see Mother Yashoda and to complain about him. And he's sitting there. And he looks with big eyes, beautiful face, red lips, curling, looking at Mother Yashoda and fearful that he might get a stick. Mother Yashoda would never beat him, but show him the stick. Would never touch the stick to his body, but show the stick. And Krishna, in the corner, the gopis are seated there. That is the scene. And the verse says, evam dharshtyani. Such were his activities, his mischiefs. Ushati. Clean places. Places which were cleaned by the gopis in their houses. Kurute. He would do. Mehanadini. Mehana. Urine. Adini. Etc. Stool. Vastav, in the house. So he would sometimes go into the houses of these gopis. And the gopis knew he is coming. The gang is coming. How would the gopis know? Because the monkeys would start getting too excited. Krishna and the gopas were calm. They would hide. They would scheme what time the gopi is leaving the house. When is the owner of the house not there? And they would time it properly. The monkeys would really get excited. And so sometimes the gopis would know, oh, I'm leaving and I know who's going to come. So they would hide the pots of butter out of reach or somewhere in the safe place where Krishna would not be able to reach. And if Krishna would enter the house and was not able to find anything, he would become angry and mehanadi, in some clean place where the gopis would have cleaned the house, he would go and pass urine and stool. Sorry, this is nice stool and urine. Krishna's. Just out of mischief. Steyo payai And he would scheme. Steya means to steal. The English word steal comes from steya in Sanskrit. Steyopayai. He will scheme many, many other ways of stealing. Oh, next time, maybe we'll do it this way. How about doing it that way? Virachita kritihi supratiko yathaste. And the gopis were discussing, this is what he does. He soils our house if he doesn't find anything. And he schemes in newer and newer ways. Sometimes he engages our own children to commit theft. All this scheming is going on. They are discussing this. And what is Krishna doing? Supratiko yathaste. Krishna is sitting in one corner and with a very nice sweet smile, he is looking at them. Ittham stribhi sabhayanayana shri mukhalokini bhir. And the stri, the gopis, they are looking at the beautiful face of Krishna. And vyakhyartartha prahasita mukhi. And Yashoda is listening to all this and she is smiling. She is smiling. Mother Yashoda is smiling. Nahi upalabdha maichat. And she does not desire to chastise Krishna. She is just enjoying. So this is the scene. Now Sanatan Goswami and Jeev Goswami has given some. They have quoted one verse from Puranas. They have said, Jagat jana maladvamsi. Jagat jana maladvamsi. He who purges the whole universe of all filth. Shravana smruti kirtanam. By his smarana, by remembering Krishna, by hearing about Krishna, and by doing kirtan about Krishna, the filth of the whole universe is purified. Mala mutradi rahita. He has no urine and no stool. There is nothing filthy about him, in him, or about him. Punya shlokati smrita. This is Punya shloka. He is Krishna, who has nothing, no filth in him. So how could Krishna pass stool and urine? So Jiva Goswami gives one understanding. He says, it is only an illusion. The gopis think Krishna creates an illusion of stool and urine. And Sanatan Goswami accepts that explanation and he also gives another explanation. Actually, it is not Krishna's. Krishna tells the monkeys, come on, they have hidden the butter, now we have to make them work hard. So he tells all the monkeys, you do all your job all over here. So all the monkeys, they come and they pass the stool and urine. Sanatan Goswami says that way. In any case, it is fun. So the stool-like material vishaya is not fun, is not for the devotees. But I thought I'll bring up this verse because there is one great acharya who has sung a song in which he says, I remember how wonderfully Krishna soils the houses of the gopis. How he defiles he. So, in this way, we understand. Mora hate galaya bandhiya. Mora karma, mora hate galaya bandhiya. We perform our own karma. And the six elements that keep us in the material world, we saw those. Kubishaya vishtha garte diyache phelaya. Enjoying in this material world with kubishaya and subishaya, both take us away from Krishna. So, our Rupa and Sanatan beg mercy from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is only through Mahaprabhu's mercy, the mercy of the devotees, by building up the right samskaras, by improving the swabhava, by associating with nirguna, can one ultimately eternally associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His associates, which is what is our goal. So, thank you very much. Any questions, comments, or corrections?